And so, sorry, you can be seated. Sorry about that. Like Easter and Christmas, the Pentecostal preacher is presented with a scripture that's so familiar that he or she wonders if anything new can be said. And many would say that Pentecost is an outdated festival in many mainstream congregations. While many of us may dress with our red garments on Pentecost Sunday, we don't expect the mighty wind to come blowing through our congregation, and we don't anticipate tongues of fire and speaking in tongues as well. And yet here we are, another Pentecost Sunday. And so my challenge to you this morning is to allow the Holy Spirit to beckon you. Because Pentecost is a day for spiritual adventurers. Just like we are Easter people, that we live in the light of a post-Easter experience, we have the Word of God, we have the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that Jesus is risen, and we live our lives with that knowledge or in that knowledge. And so we are also Pentecostal people. We live in the age of the Spirit. We live in the age of the church, which is the Christian age. The day of Pentecost announces God's mighty and transformative presence in the emerging Christian movement in the book of Acts. And as the Spirit still does today in our lives, we are Easter people and we are Pentecostal people because of the Holy Spirit's transformative power. God's Spirit can move quickly, it can also be bold and awesome, but in whatever fashion it moves, there is one thing that is very, very clear this morning, that the Holy Spirit, he is the third person of the Trinity. He breaks down barriers, he welcomes outsiders, he welcomes the separated, and just as important, he energizes our own spirits. He is the third person of the Trinity. He's not a force, he's not some sort of force, he is a person. So God offers inspiration and salvation for all, and always in ways that we can understand. And this is part of the Holy Spirit's ministry to us. The Holy Spirit is global, and the Holy Spirit is universal. And yet, he is equally intimate and personal. The book of Acts reminds us that the Holy Spirit motivates us to action. Jesus' Pentecostal followers head to the streets to share the good news. Peter's message reflects the reality that God can speak within and through any one of us. Then we have Psalm 104, which portrays an amazing and prophetic global Pentecost and invites us all to a singing faith, to invites us all to a world of praise, all creatures, great and small, praising God. God's Spirit is sent to all creation. All creation matters to God and is precious in God's eyes. God's divine and creative Spirit of wisdom guides and blesses all creation, the psalm says. And it's the same wisdom that guides and blesses us as well. So let's swing back to our story in Acts chapter 2. For Christians, this morning, Pentecost marks the birthday of the church. By any stretch of the imagination, it's a fabulous birthday story, full of riveting details, tongues of fire, rushing winds, accusations of drunkenness, mass baptism. It's easy to get lost in this great big spectacle, but the detail that makes me stop and the detail that makes me pause and think is this detail. Let me read it out, that portion of scripture that makes me stop and think. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. At this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. As Christians, we place great stock in language. We place great stock in words. We are people of the Bible. We love the creation stories of Genesis, in which God births the very cosmos. into existence by his words, by speaking. The Bible says, and God said, and we see all of that litany of what God said and how it was created. We read John's prologue. John's prologue is John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. That's what the prologue is, or that's what's referred to as John's prologue. And in that prologue, we read about the incarnation of Christ. His gospel says, John's gospel says, in the beginning was the Word. On Sunday mornings, we profess our faith in the languages of liturgy. We profess our faith in languages of creed. We profess our faith in languages of prayer, languages of music. In short, we believe that language has power. If this is true, then what does the miracle of Pentecost signify? Have we really this morning grasped the significance of what the Spirit did and what the Spirit insists on at that inaugural moment of the birth of the church? After all, there's nothing easy about swapping one language for another. Languages are complex. Languages are messy. They carry the full weight of their respective cultures, history, psychologies, and spiritualities. To attempt one language as opposed to another is to make oneself a learner and a beginner. To speak across barriers of race and ethnicity and gender and religion and culture or politics, or to challenge stereotypes, is to risk ridicule. It's a brave and disorientating act to learn to speak someone else's language. And this is what the Holy Spirit requires Christ's frightened disciples on the birthday of the church to do. Essentially, the Holy Spirit asks them to stop huddling in what they were calling safety and throw open the windows, throw open the doors. And you can almost feel the pressure of the Holy Spirit's hand on their backs as he pushes them out of this huddle that they're in this upper room. And he asks them to pour themselves out into the streets. The same streets that they've come to fear. And he asks them to speak. The Holy Spirit is saying, don't you understand? Silence is no longer possible. And why is that? Because you're on fire. What I love about the Pentecost story is that it requires surrender and humility on both sides. Those who spoke had to brave languages far beyond their comfort zone. They had to risk vulnerability in the face of difference. And to do so, they did it with no guarantees and no guarantees of welcome either. They had to trust no matter how awkward they stepped into this situation or how inadequately and how silly they felt. The words that bubbled up inside them, the new words, the strange words, the scary words, these words were nevertheless essential. They're words that were precisely ordained for the time and place and the situation they occupied. And meanwhile, the crowds who listened had to take risks as well. They had to surrender disbelief. They had to drop their defences and opt for wonder instead of contempt. They had to widen their circles and welcome strangers with accents in their midst. However, some people sneered because they couldn't bear to be bewildered. They couldn't bear to have their neat little categories or the belonging and exclusion, these belonging and exclusion categories, be simply exploded in their faces. Instead, like their ancestors at Babel, who scattered at the first sign of difference, these same people retreated into their well-worn narratives of denial. And they said, there's nothing new here. This isn't God. These are babbling idiots who have had too much to drink. That's what they said. But even in that atmosphere of suspicion, even in that atmosphere of criticism and cynicism, some people spoke and some people listened. And into those astonishing exchanges, God breathed fresh life. So here's the big idea. Something happens when we speak each other's languages. We experience the limits of our own words and our own perspectives, but we learn to be curious. I think the Pentecost story compels us because it's a story of our time. Pentecost this morning is contemporary. The whole world is coming to West Melbourne. Have you noticed that? The whole world. Have you driven out of Melton lately and seen the building and the roadworks? And the whole world is coming to the west of Melbourne. Every nation, every tongue. And so, as a church, if we don't learn the art of speaking across the borders that separate us, if we don't help others or show others what the ways of what we believe as what we believe Jesus has showed us, then Jesus says in Matthew 5:13 that we are salt that has lost its saltiness. We're good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. Now some of you are thinking, well, why bother? Because you feel the temptation to retreat into your private religious enclave. And maybe some of you already have, because you're thinking, why should I bother to understand, much less speak, the language of those who disagree with my belief system? It's easier for me to just sneer, and it's much more fun to do that too. And you might be right, but it's no small thing that the Holy Spirit loosened the tongues to break down barriers on the birthday of the church. In the face of difference, God compels his people, that's us, to engage. That's what he asks us to do. From day one, the church's call was to press in, linger, listen, and then speak. That's what Jesus did, and the words read to us from the Gospel of John express Jesus' desire for his church. Jesus wants us to be creative, to be active, to be agents of transformation, able to do greater works than Jesus himself, the Gospel of John says. And it all starts with pressing in, lingering, listening, and speaking. Because here's the thing as I close. Here's why Pentecost is so important and why we need to be Pentecostal people. No matter how passionately I might disagree with your opinions and beliefs, I cannot disagree with your experience. Once I have learned to hear and to speak your story in words that matter most to you, then I have rewards and insights that I never had before. I can no longer make you the other. I can no longer discount you. Pentecostal people are awakened to divine possibilities and companionship. We can flourish, we can achieve our dreams and support the dreams of others as well. We can be God's companions in bringing beauty, in bringing healing and the uprightness to the human condition. God's Spirit enlivens, God's Spirit enlightens on Pentecost Sunday. However, this illumination is part of God's ongoing process in creation and in history. He's been doing this for 2,000 years. That's why I say we're Pentecostal people. Not that we belong to the making mob up the road there or anything. You get what I'm saying when I say we're Pentecostal people, don't you? Yeah, like we're Easter people. Yeah, okay. I go running off and telling everyone Neil's doing this and Neil's doing that. Okay? Good. We know what we're talking about, okay? So this morning, can we dare to hear what the Spirit is saying to us? Or will we huddle and sneer? What will we do? The Spirit says, speak. Silence is no longer possible. Why? Because you're on fire. That's what Pentecost is all about. To God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all honor, glory, might, power, and dominion, now and forevermore. Amen.